The Lord leads us. It goes before us and was here before we were, preparing this space and this time that we make the most of it in worship. God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And we're excited to be here in his house to worship him today. If you're a visitor with us, we extend a special welcome and greeting to you and want to encourage you, if you'd like to know more about our church or hear more about opportunities where you might become a part of what God is doing here, we encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. You'll find those on the back of the pew in front of you, and there also is a prayer card there. If you have any prayer needs, we do have our deacons pray every Sunday. We also have a very dedicated prayer team that meets Sunday mornings, and on Thursdays, we lift up the prayer needs of our church. So we encourage you to take that opportunity as well. Tonight, we have our fellowship meal at 5 o'clock, followed by some opportunities for both adults and children. And I'll say just more about that in just a moment. We have here our experience in God study tonight will be immediately following our time with Carson and Laura Fushi. Our experience in God scripture passage for this coming week is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We have here with us two who have faith and who have moved forward in their life and in their choices by faith. As I said, Carson and Laura Fushi are here with us this morning and will be with us again this evening. We are very excited to welcome you here to First Baptist, although you know these folks better than I do, I'm sure. They really need no introduction. I'm not going to say too much about you because I want to give you the opportunity to share your story, but they have deep ties here to not only First Baptist Elon, but the Elon community, the university life, and to many people in this area. We're excited to welcome you back to this area and hear your story. They've been serving as Cooperative Baptist Fellowship Global field personnel for the last 3 years in Japan, and will be continuing that maybe indefinitely. That's going to be their calling in life. So we're very pleased and excited to hear about that story. Tonight, they're going to come back and share a bit with our adults at 5:30, and then spend a good amount of time with our children. It's always exciting for our kids many of whom are not here this morning, so they'll be looking forward to meeting you tonight and hearing from real live missionaries, which is always exciting. Carson and Laura have come to share, and in a moment we're going to give the pulpit over to them to share their story and share a message also with our children. But they've asked if they could share something first with you, a gift and just a word of thanks, and I want to invite you to come.
Good morning. It's good to be back home at First Baptist Church of Elon. Thank you. You all know what a special congregation you've been to me over the years, and sometimes I feel like I might just step back into the choir. Come on, okay. I yelled too much at the Elon game last night, so I'm not sure I can. I'm at that point yet. But we wanted to have an opportunity to show our thanks to you. Something that, you know, we do in many cultures, but especially in Japanese culture, is bring gifts when we come from somewhere else. And so the first is going to be a gift from the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. You have been faithful, a faithful encourager church these last 3 years. And so, Laura, if you will hold the shiny medallion. And there's a nice little stand that goes with it in here as well. And so that's just a representation of this beautiful partnership that we've had these last 3 years and look forward to in the years ahead. And then another gift comes from us more personally. It's rare that you find kind of Christian gifts in Japanese society, a culture in a country where mission has been going on for 500 years, Christian mission, but really only 1% to 2% of the population would identify as Christians. And so when we find something, we kind of hold on to it. And so this is a gift that we've been giving to our encourager churches and our friends since we've been back. The story goes that in the 70s, there was a man named Hoshino Tomohiro, and he was a young gymnastics coach in his 20s at the time, and he was teaching his students a new technique on a trampoline. He attempted it, and he fell off and broke his neck and was unable to move below his neck and continues to do so for the rest of his life. And so he's laying in his hospital bed kind of trying to figure out, what do I do with the rest of my life without all of this ability to move below my neck? And so he was surrounded by flowers and kind of was overcome by his smallness among the greatness of the things around him. He had a conversion experience where he became a Christian in that hospital bed, and with his mother came up with this idea that he would learn how to paint pictures of flowers, as well as learn how to do Japanese calligraphy in the character system and write his own poems, all with his mouth. So a brush in his mouth, he learned how to do all of these things. And so this is just it's a portrait print of one of Tomohiro-san's prints. And so we wanted to share that kind of special gift from Japan with you and just a small token of our thanks for this beautiful partnership that we've had. So thank you.
Thank you, Carson and Laura. This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we gather here happy in your presence, because when we are in your presence, we know what true happiness is. Father, you have sent your Spirit to be with us this morning to guide our time of worship, our time of singing, our time of scripture reading, our time of prayer, our time of reflection, Father, because we know as we leave this place today, we leave differently because we've experienced you in a new and special way. Father God, speak to us this day as we sit in these pews or stand in praise of you. Change us. Change our hearts. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, Forever Reign. It'll be on the screens behind you. Thank you.
No!
All right, if we could have all the children join us here at the front. Now here we're going to have some older children here today too. All right, guys.
Good morning, everyone, or Ohayou gozaimasu, as we say in Japan. We're excited to be here with you today. We've actually been back in the United States for about 6 months now, but over 3 years ago, we moved to Japan to become missionaries. I have a globe here today. Can anyone point out to us where Japan is on the globe? Great. So yeah, Japan's the island nation in East Asia. Very good.
And in Japan, one of the major things we've been doing is making friends. That sounds really nice, right? And it's a part of making friends. We've done that by going to church on the weekends and during the weekdays, by teaching English, just by being out in our community, in our city of Kanazawa for the last 3 years. We go out and we make friends. And so obviously some of those friends were from where? Japan, good start. But something that was really great is that we also got to meet people from around the world, people who are students and teachers and employees of companies, and they were from places like Malaysia and Burma, Myanmar, and from Kenya, South Africa, England, and even from our home country of America. And so that was one of the great joys that we had, was getting to learn about the world and about other countries and cultures just by making friends with people.
So when you spend time with your friends, what do you like to do? Play sports? Good. What else? What do you like to do with your friends?
Netflix. Yeah.
Talk? Yeah, just spend time together. When you invite your friends over to your house, how do you make them feel at home?
Happy?
Yeah, you make them feel happy. Give them food. Okay, that's a good start. Make sure they're good and fed. Yeah, maybe you like share your things with them, whether it's videos, you let them choose what TV show you want to watch. Yeah, there are different ways that we can make our friends feel at home.
And so a big word that we use for things like making people feel at home and giving them food is hospitality. And so this word hospitality, it's something as Christians, one of our roles that we have is to offer hospitality to others, just like if we were welcoming Jesus to our lives. And a lot of our friends in Japan showed us hospitality, and so we always felt the opportunity to show that back to them. Some of our friends were like us. They were from places that were not Japan. They were from across the world. And so they sometimes felt like outsiders, like us at times. And so just by having conversations in English and have conversations about faith made them feel more at home. Oh, and then sometimes we'd have conversations with our Japanese friends. Some of them would want to have conversations in English and practice their English with people from other countries, or they wanted to share with us something important about their lives. And so at those times, we had the opportunity to show hospitality to them. So whether it was, if it was at church, or whether it was meeting at a coffee shop or welcoming them into our home, we had the opportunity to show hospitality and to share Jesus' love with them in many different ways.
So I have this sign here, and this is a phrase that is often used when Japanese people get together for tea ceremony, which is their way of making and drinking green tea, and we're actually going to get to try some of that tonight. But the phrase is Ichigo Ichie. Can you repeat that with me? Ichigo Ichie. So it literally means one time, one meeting. But the phrase means that when we gather together with our friends, whether they're new friends or old friends, we can't recreate that moment exactly the same way again. And because of that, it's a very special moment. For me, it reminds me that when we show hospitality to others, whether that's at church or in our homes, those are really special moments. So as we continue to worship together today, let's pray that God leads us in how to show hospitality to those here in our church and then at home.
Let's pray together. Lord God, we are so thankful that we get to come again to this place today to worship you, to be among friends and family. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to receive and to show hospitality to others in so many different ways. And in doing so, we treat others as if we were meeting you
for the very first time. Lord, help us to carry that in our hearts today. Amen.
Well, our offertory hymn this morning is Do Lord, Remember Me. And I don't know if you remembered, last week we did another spiritual. So in accordance to Black History this month, I've been doing some spirituals. So let's stand and let's sing. You'll see on the screens, Do Lord, Remember Me. Father, please bless this church today and bless the people who are here. Bless this offering that we are sending to you now, and let us further your kingdom in our lives and in our living every day. Amen.
For our time of confession and pastoral prayer. O Lord, like the prophet Isaiah, we realize in the temple that we are a people of unclean lips. We confess that often we do not go where you call us to go. We often do not say what you call us to say. And the very places we should not be and the very things we should not say are the very things that we are complicit in and yield to. We tell you no and we should say yes. Lord, we confess that we often are able to close our eyes to what you are doing around us because we are afraid you might invite us to be a part of it. We see those in need and we turn. We see those who are hurting and we keep on walking. We see those who are hungry and thirsty and we feed ourselves instead. We see those who feel unwelcomed and we do little or nothing to welcome them. Lord, we give you thanks for this conviction. And we believe in your word that says that if we confess our sin, you who are faithful and just will not only forgive us of our sin, but cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we might move forward as healed and whole people, filled not with shame and guilt, but with love and hope and grace. We pray for that same grace as we think about those in our community and our world who have such deep need. Many people on our prayer list, Lord, have beside their name the word cancer. We don't like that word. We pray that you would bring healing and hope to their lives. For those who are mourning and grieving today, those who are weeping, we ask that you would turn their weeping into laughter and their mourning into dancing. We pray that you would comfort them in those moments when they cannot even stand to dance. Lord, we lift up for you, to you those precious servants that you've shared with us this morning, Carson and Laura, and we pray that you would bless them. Bless the work that they do, the friendships and the relationships they seek to build. Speak through them grace and love. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, amen. Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, in which Jesus tells us what it takes to enter in the kingdom. In Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you were sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you are accursed. Depart from me into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? then he will answer, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And those will go away in eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Scripture comes from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. This is the word of God.
When Carson and I returned from our first 3 years in Japan at the beginning of September, we began our itinerant lifestyle that has had us migrating from place to place every few days or weeks. It started with bouncing between our parents' homes and spending time with our families. It took us to Georgia in October and then eventually back to North Carolina just before Thanksgiving. And whether we've stayed with family, friends, or in mission houses, and whether our stays had been planned well in advance or at the last minute when a hurricane pushed us off our original path, our hosts always usher in the stay with a gracious "make yourselves at home." I'd suppose that in many cases, by the time you finally start to feel at home, it's about time to leave. That adjustment period of however long, of making a place feel like home and a place where you can be yourself and can contribute, can be tiresome. Yet, it's often made easier through warm hospitality. For all of the cultural differences and nuances between American and Japanese cultures, one place where we found some familiarity and similarity was within hospitality, particularly with what we affectionately call Southern hospitality. Here in the South, we all know this phrase and what it entails. Friendly manners, making sure our guests feel at home, and a little touch of indirectness if something needs to be addressed. It's the warm greetings, including hugs, shared with people whom we know or even those we don't know. It's the centrality of food as a way to take care of others. But we also know that when we look deeper beyond Mayberry, there is a structure and a system that accompanies our expression of hospitality. We might call them the do's and the don'ts. When I was a child, my parents required me to refer to my elders as sir or ma'am. Yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am were some of the first words in my vocabulary, and I would be corrected if I only replied to someone with a simple yes or no. They are the implied rules that suggest keeping an extra casserole in the freezer just in case, or holding the door for anyone coming or going. Japan's also known for its hospitality, and as we lived there and learned more about it, I realized that they have an understood system for it too. There, they also put the guest and customer first, with a lot of indirectness if something needs to be addressed. Walking into any store in Japan activates a host of welcomes as an array of voices from across the store chime in to greet you. Think of every store being a Moe's. It's kind of like that. As you leave most restaurants, your host or hostess will escort you out and continually bow to you until you're out of their sight. Carson and I love when we have an opportunity to fly Japanese Airlines, whose attendants are calm and mild-mannered, and we're growing attached to the wet towels before meals and the toothbrushes in the bathrooms. At the end of August, many of us watched as Brazil passed the torch to Japan, as it will be the next home of the 2020 Summer Olympics. Nearly 2 years prior, it was Japan's theme and emphasis on its renowned hospitality that impressed the selection committee enough to choose Tokyo for the event. I remember watching during one of their presentations, as one of Japan's top female athletes taught the world the Japanese word for hospitality like this: omotenashi. Now, a few years later, many Japanese continue to say the word in the exact same manner: omotenashi. Kindness, patience, and the willingness to give time to help others is something we immediately noticed when we arrived to Japan. Moving to a different culture and country has many ways of making you feel like an outsider, and a weakling at that. We are still illiterate. We can just barely speak the language. And even as adults, we've had to relearn ways of doing the simplest task, like cooking or shopping for groceries and driving. We needed a lot of help to go to the doctor and to learn how to shop and open bank accounts. It's a humbling experience, but we immediately had the support of our church community and friends to help us learn how to live in Japan. It's not always communicated in the same ways, but each culture does have its specific rules or system of showing hospitality to others. And even though it may be instilled in us from our culture to be hospitable, it doesn't mean it will always be easy. Being hospitable takes time and energy. It can make us tired when we overextend ourselves. We may offer hospitality out of guilt, not because we really want to. We may focus too much on the rules and forget the spirit of being hospitable. And then there are those times when we face the challenge of discovering how to connect with those who may be different from us, speak a different language than us, or we may not understand their perspective. At some point, the work of hospitality can reach well beyond our cultural do's and don'ts, yet it's at the core of who we are as the body of Christ.
As the letter to the Hebrews begins to come to a close, the readers are encouraged in the chapter that precedes today's passage to pursue peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see God. In the pursuit of peace, the writer offers final words of counsel in this chapter 13 from which I read today, one of the most important and familiar being the extension of hospitality to strangers. The readers may have recalled their ancestors who had lived as foreigners in slavery and exile, yet upon receiving their own land, they were called by their God to welcome the alien as themselves. They may have recalled the words of Jesus who spoke of separating the sheep and the goats, which we heard from today, according to the treatment of those who were naked or sick or a stranger or hungry or thirsty or imprisoned. And hearing in this letter to the Hebrews of entertaining angels, they may have recalled the story of Abraham welcoming the three visitors who came near his home in the heat of the day. And upon welcoming them, he did not follow up with the little food and water that he said he would, but instead he gives the best of what he has, killing a choice calf and pulling out the finest flour for bread. In gratitude, these strangers, who we find in the story to be God, offer a blessing to Abraham and Sarah, and sharing that the couple's long wait for a child will soon end. When we offer hospitality to others, we offer the best of who we are and what we have to the strangers among us. To the housed or to the homeless, to the hungry or to the fed, the married or the widowed, the resident or the refugee. Most importantly, when we extend this hospitality, we do so with Christian love, as we treat all as if they were God in our presence. For the last 3 years, Laura and I have been blessed to be a part of a Japanese community that embodies Christ-like hospitality to the insiders and the outsiders in their society, and has inspired us to do likewise. Kanazawa Baptist Church, which was founded in 1954, in the home of a Baptist missionary family, has blossomed into a congregation of 50-some people who gather each week for worship and service to our Lord. During our time spent within the Japanese church as co-pastors of an international English ministry called Kanazawa International Baptist Church, we were able to hear and to be a part of stories and testimonies of how this congregation has welcomed the stranger in their midst, which led to their invitation to us to join them on mission. We first heard stories from our friend Lightson, a Baptist student from India who was studying at a graduate school in the area for sciences, and about how he sought out to find a church and his move to this new place. And he contacted our pastor, Taguchi-sensei, and Taguchi-sensei helped him to find transportation from the school, which was about 40 minutes or so from the church. And Lightson felt so welcomed in that time that he decided to invite his close Indian friends from his university who practiced other faiths and to join him during weekly worship at the Kanazawa Baptist Church. The church immediately claimed all of these guys as their own and started transporting them to and from the church each week and taking them to a supermarket on the way back home to school because there wasn't one close by to their dormitory. This led to other internationals being invited and feeling welcome as part of this special community of faith. A weekly English Bible study was formed, and a regular English worship service came as the time continued to move forward. The Japanese church welcomed internationals to their morning services in Japanese by translating bulletins into English and putting Japanese hymns into the English phonetics so everyone could sing along together in worship. With all of this momentum, the church sought out CBF field personnel to help to shape and to offer hospitality to even more through English ministries, and we were the ones who were blessed to answer that call. While we were there, this thread of hospitality continued. We saw how those who had received hospitality found it easier to offer it to others. Friends who were new to Japan found within the church people who were willing to translate for them as they negotiated cell phone contracts and apartment leases, people who could teach them how to shop, or people who could simply listen to them as they processed life in this new and unfamiliar place. And those who were newcomers began to feel more settled. They felt this contagious ripple as well, and extended hospitality to others, offering the same kind of assistance to the other newcomers in their midst. Over the course of our 3 years, our international ministry consisted of friends from across the world, from countries that we shared about during the children's sermon today. They were graduate and PhD students, teachers and scientists, Christians, and those from other faith backgrounds. Yet among this diversity, there was a commonality in wanting to learn more about Jesus and find community in a place where they often were the outsider who didn't understand the language or the culture.
And then we also experienced the hospitality spilling over into the other parts of our ministry, which included families from the church's kindergarten and other students that were a part of the English classes we taught, most of whom had no previous experience with Christianity. We experienced the English classes becoming more than just classes, and instead significant communities of friends for our students. We would begin each of our Friday morning English classes for kindergarten mothers with the opportunity for the students to share highlights, telling the rest of the class about the best part of their weeks. Our students shared about Megumi kindergarten activities, festivals that they attended, trips to Tokyo Disneyland, and birthday celebrations with their children. As the group got more comfortable with each other, they asked if it was okay to share about the more difficult things going on in their lives. We, of course, said yes. They opened up to the rest of the group, which is not something that Japanese often do in public. As they shared about the challenges of motherhood, trying to find fulfilling work or activities in their free time, and even about the loss of family members. It was in these moments that we were able to bear witness to Jesus Christ as we offered them our love and our prayers. As trust developed, we began to see several students along the way accept our invitations to church fellowship events, where they were warmly welcomed and built relationships with other church members. We found that some of our best ministry was simply to help continue the church's practice of loving others through hospitality. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. often used the phrase beloved community, and it's a phrase that CBF is adopting to describe the ministry of its field personnel and what they are seeking to cultivate in their local context. From our first 3 years in Japan, we couldn't think of a better way to describe our experience than beloved community, where we served congregations that are striving for a church where all can gather, all are extended an invitation to come and join, share in the love of Christ, and discover their gifts, even if it's a little challenging and a little messy. As we shared earlier, we quickly found the beloved community begins in the warmth of Christ-like hospitality. And I didn't understand it as deeply until I moved to a place where I, too, was an outsider. When I lived in America, I always considered hospitality from the perspective of an insider, because until I was 29 years old, I'd always lived in my home country, language, and culture. But since moving to Japan, I for the first time began to understand hospitality from the outsider's point of view, the one who is shown hospitality, the one who's vulnerable because she speaks and looks and understands and believes differently than 99% of the population. As an outsider in Japan, I've become increasingly grateful for the numerous people who've taken hospitality to heart to make sure that we were safe and loved. We've been able to understand firsthand just how powerful hospitality can be in the life of an outsider. And so our experience in Japan has compelled us to better welcome others wherever we're located. Whether we're on the giving or receiving end, these encounters with Christ-like hospitality are experiences to learn and grow. I know that through receiving hospitality, I learned better how to show it. It became less about rules of etiquette and more about creating a space where people felt welcome. It became more about overcoming my own fears of my clumsy language skills or whether our apartment was big enough or clean enough, or the fear that I might change from the experience. This kind of hospitality, this welcoming spirit that invites others to be a part of beloved community, this is what the writer of Hebrews calls us to do. It's going above and beyond to welcome the stranger, as Abraham and Sarah did. It's remembering that we too have once been strangers somewhere at some time, like the Israelite people. It's welcoming others in the same way we would welcome Christ himself. For it's this kind of hospitality that Christ uses to transform the church into beloved community that's always looking out, seeing who needs rest and refuge on their journey, and invites them in to make a home and to teach us more about God's world. This faithful stewardship of sharing the love and grace we've received from Christ may just be the church at its very best.
It's because of this hospitality that we have received and been able to share that we feel called to join God on mission long term in Japan. Next month, we will move to Tokyo to begin 2 full years of Japanese language study to prepare for years of work ahead alongside our Japanese Baptist partners. During our time of study and our time with churches on the weekends and worship and fellowship, we'll have the opportunity to discuss further with the Japan Baptist Convention about what our role will look like when we can more effectively communicate in the heart language of the Japanese people. It is in partnership with this church and with congregations and families that we have this great opportunity to be the hands and feet of Christ to our neighbors on the other side of the world. Brothers and sisters, we all have the opportunity to follow Christ by extending hospitality today and every day. A kind of hospitality rooted in Christ's love that caused a master to open wide the doors of his banquet hall for the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and compelled Mary to pour out expensive perfume over Jesus' feet and wipe it off with her hair. We begin to perform acts of hospitable love when we look and see where Christ is already revealing himself and at work in our communities and join in, giving the best of what we have in service to our Lord, just as if it was God before us. As we leave this sacred place today, may we do so by extending hospitality to all those we encounter as we cultivate beloved community in Japan, in Elon, and across the world. Amen.
We thank you for sharing that good word and that story. It's definitely God's story, and we're glad that you're able to be a part of that. As we respond to that, I want to invite you to stand if you're able as we sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, verses 1, 4, and 5. Please stand. our benediction and response. And I'm going to invite Carson and Laura to join me in the vestibule after. I know you're going to want to speak a word to them before you leave today. Would you bow with me? May the God of love instill in you the spirit of hospitality to share that grace with all that you meet in the week to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.